gentlemen, welcome to a violent edition of ARG Presents. I'm your good buddy, your good pal, and top shelf, number one ranked fighter in the world, Amigo Aaron, joined by my tag team partner. Please welcome the original tough guy. I give you the Brent.
Me?
Yeah, you look at you. You were snarling and stuff. If they didn't know you were such a powder puff, you'd look kind of mean.
Oh, yeah, my appearance does look vicious and evil.
And that would come in handy. For a category like today, because we spun the wheel last week. We made a deal, the very interesting deal for me and my tag partner here, because bam, it's team fighters. These are games that where you have a teammate or two or three teammates and you fight some other teams for dominance. These were games that got a lot of jack after the initial batch came out, and they've sort of ran ever since. They've become an intricate part of fighting games. When you add multiple partners to your fighting roster. Brent, do you recall the first time you played a game that had multiple options for partners in a fighting game?
Yeah, it's my favorite game of all time, X-Men versus Street Fighter.
That's the first time, so you weren't privy to the early King of Fighters games?
No.
Really? Yeah. I'm stunned by that.
I mean, all of the... SNK games that I played were the Fatal Furies that were single player stuff.
And those were no good.
Obviously, I'm not including wrestling games in this.
Right. I was thinking about this morning. If you boiled it down, like if you thought to yourself, what was the first video game where I fought two other people? The first one that I could think of was the original tag team wrestling from way, way back in the arcade. And then the game I picked today wouldn't be too far behind. Now, some people are going to differentiate wrestling games from fighting games, but I think they absolutely fall in the line.
Oh, yeah. No.
With the genre. But the first game where I actually was tagging up to take on people in a fighting arena that I ever played was the original King of Fighters, which I have to say, having played a lot of SNK's fighting games up to that point and knowing some of the participants in the games, you know, because you had the guys from Fatal Fury and stuff like that. This game was like a revelation when it came out, where it lets you pick two other partners to go into combat. Now, you're saying you just weren't into the SNK fighting franchises at all?
Well, no. Like I said, Samurai Showdowns, I really enjoyed all the Samurai Showdowns. Yeah. World Heroes,
sure.
I enjoyed several of those.
And they weren't really in on the
SNK
stuff. Yeah. Which is a bummer, you know.
But the thing is, I tried to take this cross-genre, right? And I want to take a moment and talk about this. I'm completely off topic what you were talking about.
All right, go ahead.
I wanted to find a beat-em-up that had tag team elements.
Okay.
There aren't any. There's actually like three that I could find that were ever made. Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh, that was a game?
Apparently.
Oh, man.
And a very recent game, like released in the last 2 years, that I was going to pick, that's $12 on Steam. The name fails me right now. It starts with an F. That's all I remember. But they just aren't out there. And I was thinking, man, why? Why are those not out there? That makes complete sense. Because one of the worst things with a beat-em-up, right, especially these long 40 to 60 minute slogs, is it's the same guy doing the same thing. You're playing over and over and over, because if you don't die, you never get to switch characters. How awesome would it be to have where you can tag in another character? Maybe your power move that takes a little bit of health has two characters that they beat up on the same guy or something.
Yeah.
And then your first guy leaves, and then you've got the second guy. That way you can't abuse it. Now, they're just not out there.
What about Donkey Kong Country 2?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's not a beat 'em up. That's a platformer.
You smack guys around in that.
That's not a
beat 'em up. Hey, listen.
Are you saying
I'm not going to die on this hill, but I'm just saying it's the first thing that came to my head. was the when I was thinking about, because I was thinking about myself, I remember a game where you tag out to a guy, and that's what it was.
Yeah, but that's a platformer.
That's a great game, too.
Yes, it is. I'm not denying that.
So what you're saying, though, getting back to the matter at hand, you've had little to no experience playing the King of Fighters series?
No. You said which one did I play first.
Right. What about now? Have you gone back to try it out?
No, there's a...
Why? It's a good series.
It's okay, yeah.
It's okay?
Yeah. It's just not a fighting style that it's even when you're talking about your Samurai Showdowns and your World Heroes and your Fatal Furies, even those fighting games are not my preferred style.
Fatal Fury is not that good. That's that. I never liked any of the Fatal Furies.
But those just aren't my style of fighting games. I prefer the Capcoms. I prefer your Darkstalkers and your...
There wasn't a team Darkstalkers, was there? Okay. Unless you pick one of them as a team in one of them versus series. So your preference is the versus. So what did you think when you saw X-Men Street Fighter versus X-Men? Did that did it for you?
Oh,
you were
my gosh.
On board with the tag team.
Oh my god.
Was that the first time? I mean, were you aware of tag team or team fighting in other fighting games, or was that the
first time
you'd ever seen it?
Not really. This is the first one I sat down and it was like, I'm going to play this, and I'm going to play it a lot, because, first of all, I played the Children of the Atom games, right? So, obviously, I'm familiar with the whole Marvel universe anyway.
Yeah.
But then you sit down with characters from fighting games that I'm already aware of.
Yeah.
So, I both sides of the coin, I already know what I'm getting when I pick these characters. And to play the different matchups, to see what... team moves go head-to-head together and, you know, what gives you the best effect. Just fantastic to explore.
You've got to give the people at Capcom credit, because securing that Marvel license to do Children of the Atom and Marvel Super Heroes, which are both great games on their own, and then they had enough common sense to think to themselves, where can we take this? Because you can only take that concept so far, I think. And what they did by adding in the Street Fighter characters was a brilliant stroke. You're dead on. Making it, you get to pick more people, so it's a team battle game, which I'm sure, there's no doubt in my mind, they saw what SNK was doing and just said, okay, how can we work this in the most creative way? That's what they did.
Well, also, it was easier for them because they already had all these beautiful sprites that you just tweak just a little bit.
Yeah.
You give them a few more things. Bam, they're in the game.
Yeah, that's the way you do it, too. Smart move. Now, have you went into the realm of, like, say, your Tekken Tag, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, any of those games which are popular in a lot of circles, or your Dead or Alive series, the tags in that? How about the... SNK, Capcom, fighting games, or Neo Geo Coliseum, that stuff. Anything there ring a bell for you?
I have played a few of the SNK Capcom games.
Yeah.
Not extensively, not enough to even learn them.
Yeah.
They just didn't feel good to me.
I read a lot about this Skullgirls. This is a new game that's got a tag mode. Have you heard anything about this game? I've heard so much about it.
I know of it, but I've never played it. Just like the Guilty Gears. I know they're fantastic games. I just haven't personally sat down and played them.
I don't think the Guilty Gears have a tag team element in them, though.
I think so. The new ones.
I don't remember ever playing any tags in those.
But on your 3D aspect things... Not a huge fan of 3D fighters, first of all.
Yeah.
So for me, adding in the tag element did not... It wasn't like updating the 2D with the tag element that actually added an element of play. For me, when you have 2D, a 3D fighter and then a 3D fighter with tag, that's not a leap forward for me because I didn't enjoy the base experience.
So you didn't play Street Fighter EX or... Rival Schools, no, those are out of the loop as well.
I played them, but those weren't games that I made an effort to learn.
I thought Rival Schools was a lot of fun.
My all-time favorite 3D fighter is...
Virtua Fighter 2?
No, the one where you can break the armor off.
You mean talk about the Toko Rishinden?
No, this is embarrassing because I had it on my tip of my tongue.
Battle Arena Toshinden?
No. We'll come back to it. I'll remember it later. Fighting Vipers, that's what it was.
Oh, and that one, I didn't like it.
Everyone hated Fighting Vipers. Yeah. I loved it. I thought the armor aspect, where you could do more damage if you hit them in a place that didn't have armor, I thought that was brilliant.
They got that Battle Arena Toshinden, too.
But in the... same vein, Aaron. You don't play a whole lot of 3D fighters, did you?
I do. I'm a big fan of Virtual Fighter 1 and 2, especially Tekken. I love Tekken.
I mean modern.
I love Rival Schools. I played Street Fighter. I wasn't as big a fan of Street Fighter EX, the first one.
It was garbage.
It wasn't horrible. It was okay.
Yeah, you're right. It was garbage.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the best. I'm not going to lie to you. But that was the infancy of Capcom trying to get into that business. No, I do like 3D fighters.
And
actually,
you saw where they came back to.
Well, you can do both, but I do like both. I'm a big fan of Tekken. I thought Tekken Tag was a real good series. A real good game.
They
I
made
liked
a ton
it.
Of them.
Then, well, also, not just that. I thought the additions were good and the gameplay additions were good. Tag, I'm okay with the tag team thing. At first, well, when I first saw it, I thought it was intriguing. I still don't think anyone's done it quite like SNK did with the King of Fighters series, because the team, I like the fact that the teams made sense. And like one thing about that series, it was one of the first sets of games that delved into the company's past, which I like that shtick, you know, pulling from other games that you wouldn't necessarily even know as fighting games.
I mean, Capcom did that too.
Well, I'm saying, just but in a team atmosphere, it was cool. Representing different countries. I thought it was a good gimmick. Yes.
Yeah, that was.
So I think I was a big fan. They made a million of them. So now when you say, hey, what's your favorite King of Fighters? Like, people are like, oh, my God. And there's so many that kept going. I think if I picked, I think it'd be like probably 97, I think was the one I really liked. But it's even hard for me to remember because I've played so many of them, you know. Yeah, it all comes down to who you like and if what they had it added in.
They milk that cow totally dry.
Yeah. So, but I mean, listen, there's a lot of things to choose from. I think Brent said before we did this, it was like 65.
I
was actually surprised there were few. I mean, in terms of legit straight up fighting games, I was surprised that there weren't as many as I thought there'd be, if I'm honest. It's something that's getting added a lot more to just everything.
Yeah.
You know, like I saw Mortal Kombat 11 had added it, which Mortal Kombat never did a team fighting thing like that until then. So that Mortal Kombat really wasn't set up for it, just because certainly not in the arcade, given what you were doing. So I can understand why it would be so hesitant to get into it. But so there's got to be one out there for your taste. That's for darn sure.
Absolutely.
And so we had a couple that fit our... various tastes. I'll go ahead and lead the dance this week. Now, I didn't mean to kind of jump outside the usual fare of fighting games, but I wanted to give this game credit. I couldn't believe we never covered it, and it's a lot of fun for me. And I think it's a really good game that doesn't get as much jack as it should. And it's a legit, pure tag team fighting game. And my game I picked was WWF Superstars by Technos Japan, released in 1989. This is an arcade game, Brent, that never got a home release-ish. Now, I'll get into the ish. It never got a home release. Directed, of course, like I mentioned, this was done by Technos Japan. Director of this was Yoshihisa Kishimoto. Now, you may have heard of him because his works he's been director of so many games that you've heard of, including stuff like Renegade, Double Dragon, Super Dodgeball. He did a bunch of the Double Dragons. He did WWF WrestleFest, which is one of our favorite games, the Combat Tribes, a bunch of stuff for the home systems. This guy's been around the block. He's a real big player at the time. I mean, Technos was on fire back in those days, and a lot of those games, including the Double Dragon series and whatnot, they were all done by Technos. This brand, I thought this was interesting. I was wondering, this was a Jam arcade board. We owned the board. We probably still have it, I think, somewhere. This ran on a 68,000 with a Z80 and a Yamaha chip for the sound. So this is something that's like, you're looking at this like, why didn't this get ported again? Well, I'm going to explain why here in a minute. So let's get right into it. I'm not going to beat around the bush here. WWF Superstars is a game where you comprise a tag team out of six selectable wrestlers to go after the world championship held by the Mega Bucks, which was the team of Ted DiBiase and Andre the Giant.
Okay? Who you could not pick. That's very
without
important.
Without a hack, right. Which I'll get to that, too.
From the arcade.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Originally, in fact, there's some stuff that was at the cutting room floor where Ted DiBiase and Andre's names were up there in the power bar. So apparently at some point the possibility of playing them was to be implemented, but it never happened. And I also read, I can't confirm this, but I did read this, that there were two characters cut for time constraints, which were Bruce the Barber Beefcake and Ravishing Rick Rude, which would have been cool. So you're the game here, you are tasked to pick a tag team out of these six wrestlers and then go for the belts. The six wrestlers involved, of course, these are all wrestlers of this era, that's for sure. You've got the Hulk Hogan, of course, Macho Man Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, Hacksaw Duggan, and my two favorite guys, the Big Boss Man, and a rare appearance of the Honky Tonk Man in video games. The Honky Tonk Man, which is awesome. This game starts out WWF Superstars was a Sunday syndicated television show for the WWF back in the 80s. Okay, so presumably that's where they got the name. It starts out with a shot of the arena. You can play one player against another player. You can play two players on the same team, or you can play just one player against a computer. So it gives you some options. As you go after the belts, you pick teams. You can actually have teams that are comprised of good guys and bad guys, or guys that hate you, doesn't matter. And then it starts off with this great entrance into the arena on these little mobile rings. Now, these mobile rings, you might recognize them. They were used at WrestleMania 3 and 4. They're like little carts that look like tiny wrestlers, complete with posts and the ropes.
They were great.
And your guys come in, and they put enough time in it to where they actually gave the guys that needed it their little entrance garb. Honky Tonk Man is an Elvis impersonator that wrestled, okay? So Honky's got a full Elvis jumpsuit, you know? Ted DiBiase wears a tuxedo when he comes to the ring. Stuff like that. So they put that in when you're driving out the card. And also, Honky dances. Some guys do little dances. You know, some guys, you know, they celebrate. It's real cool. The crowd looks good. Then you get to the ring for a traditional wrestling tag team bout. Now, what makes this fun is it follows pretty much tag team rules of the era, for the most part, which involve you going against your opponent with a series of moves, and then when you want to, you go up to the corner and you hit your tag button, you tag in your partner. Pretty standard fare. If you've played WWF WrestleFest, this is not going to be a stretch for you, because this is the prequel to that. This came out before it. Yeah. And this came out, Technos has had great success with its Matt Mania series, especially the first one.
Yes.
Matt Mania, which, you, as you know, one of my all-time favorite games, and you love it too.
Yeah, it's great.
They took some of the elements from Matt Mania, and they thought, okay, what can we do if we get the actual wrestling license? And what they did was they used what they learned to make this game. Now, they didn't use the Matt Mania engine. So when you look at this game, you're thinking to yourself, this engine, it seems familiar to me. It should. This is actually running on the Double Dragon engine, if you can believe that.
Which is crazy, yeah.
In fact, Andre is like almost a pixel for pixel duplicate of one of the guys in Double Dragon, which is interesting and fascinating. And when I never thought about this. And then when I read that and I started looking at the game, you could tell that that's what they did. And who'd have thunk it? They had something going here with this. This was a good engine. The wrestlers have their own unique looks. They have their own unique finishing maneuvers. Really, the only wrestlers in it that are like similar are Ted DiBiase and Hacksaw Duggan, which are basically, they have different hair, and they have, Ted DiBiase has a little, like a symbol on his pants, which is a dollar sign, and different boots, but they're just basically a palette swap. Everyone else is a unique, original character from the WWF. This is a two-button game, and with your two buttons, you've got a punch and you kick, and if you hit both buttons, your guy will dash. It's as simple as that. And these are sort of the buttons that they kind of carried forward. So it worked out real well. And then one of the buttons also will make your tag. So once you pick your two guys, you come to the ring. The ref will say, let's get it on, or the announcer, whoever it is. And then you go at it. The ring is huge. It actually scrolls all the way across the screen back and forth. There's also the full outside of the ring that you can go out and run around in. Normally, at the bottom of the screen, if you go outside the ring, there's a table there, unless it's a championship match. And you can pick the table up and smash it over your opponent's heads. There's also a little aisle, diagonal walkway down in the left-hand corner that has a chair in it. You can also batter your opponent with a chair. A la Matt Mania, you can actually throw your opponent out of the ring and then run and just leap over the top rope and jump on him, which is something that was a carryover from Matt Mania. You can also go up the top rope and jump on him outside the ring. And the ref will count you out, and then in this game, you get the count of 20 to get back in the ring. In the WWF, the traditional count is 10, but in Japan, it's 20. Yep. It's always been 20, and so you're going to get the Japanese count in this one. So when you start off the game, it tells you you're in New York, and you've got to win three matches to get to a title match, right? So once you win the three matches, you get to the title match with Ted DiBiase and Andre. Andre's a big bruiser, as you can imagine. Well, first, there's an interview with him. I got to mention this. Mean Gene Okerlund interviews Ted DiBiase and Andre, and Virgil's there, too. Virgil was the bodyguard. He's counting Ted DiBiase's money. And Mean Gene says, they're declaring themselves challengers to your world title. And Andre says, no one defeats Megabucks. And then Ted DiBiase says, I'll put you to sleep with my million-dollar dream. And then they start the match. None of these voices are even close to the original voices. I read that the voices were supposed to be voiced by the original guys, but for it didn't happen. And so they just got people that worked at Technos America to record audio. The audio in this
and
is...
You can tell.
You hear, it's time to get it on. You heard the speech I just gave. And also, Miss Elizabeth, when you win the belt, she says, I want to congratulate you for winning the title. And that's not her. Okay, I can tell you that right now. Miss Elizabeth was originally from Kentucky. She's got a real sweet Southern accent. This is not her. Not even close. But they did the best they could with what they had. So when you win the three initial matches... You win, if you somehow defeat Andre and Ted DiBiase, then you move to the show. But now it's repeated in Japan.
Yeah,
the arena they're at. I don't know if it's the Budokan. It may be the Budokan because it looks sort of like the shape like that. But that's just a guess. I don't know if it has even ran the Budokan. To be honest with you, the characters, they put a lot of little touches in this that I enjoy. For example, some of the characters will come out in different colored tights. For different colored matches, Macho Man and Honky both do that. They also put in, if the computer occasionally will do one of the wrestlers' signature taunts, which is always fun to see. I wish you could do them.
You can't, exactly.
But you can. But you can watch the computer do them, and they're always amusing. Aside from all that stuff, they also put in stuff like... with their finishing maneuvers may be accompanied by special pins. Like, Boss Man just has a one-arm pin. Ultimate Warrior does a thing where he presses down on you like he's doing a big push-up, you know. They put all the little stuff in there that I enjoy in a wrestling game. There's a pretty decent little theme that plays when you're going. The wrestlers have a little theme when they come out. You know, it's not like it's their theme, but they do have a theme that comes out. And between that, all the original moves. Like, I hate a wrestling game where you just... generically play a guy that does all the same crap. And for the most part, they get the movesets right on this. Well, they're doing most of it right.
It's not hard when you only have like six moves per fighter.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's I'd say for a wrestling game, that at the time, this was real high end. I can safely say on a personal note that this game physically caused me to leave college. They got one of these in the game room across the street from the college, and I was over there all the time playing this game. I thought it was super duper awesome game. This is one you don't hear much about. One of the reasons was it didn't get a port. And it was a popular game in Japan. According to Wiki, and I read this in the 1989 issue of Games Machine, it listed WWF Superstars as being the third most successful arcade unit of the month. And it was the top grossing software conversion kit in January of 90 in the U.S. So it got a lot of love. It got best software and its player's choice feature. It was very popular. So why didn't this get a port? Well, there's one big reason, and the big reason is licensing. Acclaim had the worldwide unfortunately, had the worldwide license for WWF games on consoles. And this game didn't make it. Instead, Acclaim put out the absolute trash that they put out. I mean, I don't think I ever liked a single one of their wrestling games. It was Acclaim. They've got a rep. The sprites from this did make an appearance in the Amiga game, WWF WrestleMania, which I own this game. This game is abomination unto man, but it does feature these sprites, and it features some of the retooled sprites as they generate different players in it, which are including the Mountie and Mr. Perfect are amongst the guys they generate. It's a horrible game. Horrible. Don't ever buy it. I knew it was trash, but I mean, I saw it. If you look at a box shot, you're thinking to yourself, hey, look, it's WWF Superstars. This is going to be gold. It's not gold. But in closing, a good game, a lot of fun. It allows you, it doesn't have the tag team moves of WrestleFest where you can actually do a double team, but it does allow you to grab your opponent when you're outside the ring to help your partner, which is a nice touch to give you, to make you feel like you're a tag team. You can also come in and do saves for your partner. So it's a tag team game through and through.
Oh,
Brent,
yeah.
Brent, what do you think about this one? I know you've played this one before.
I have played this one before. However, I didn't play this until after I had played WrestleFest.
Uh-huh.
So my memories of this game are not fond.
Okay.
First off, six characters. Are you kidding me? Six? That's all you could muster? And they weren't people I even liked. So that
was... I can't predict who you like.
No, but if you give me more than six characters, I bet I can find somebody. I think the absolute minimum for a fighting game is 10 characters.
Well, you clearly have forgotten what 1989 was like.
I understand.
Street Fighter only had, what, eight guys originally when you could pick from? So it's not like this was that far.
Well, they went to 12 pretty quick. Anyway...
So did this.
Yeah, and it was better. I think that the play of the computer in this, it's a cheap game. Unlike some of the other games where you can kind of figure out what you're expected to do to win, especially, but not limited to, the title match, you cannot win that on one quarter.
I actually did beat this on one quarter one time in my life. And I've gotten to the second title match many times on one quarter. But you have to cheat. Yeah. Every match, the first thing you do is leave the ring and batter them with chairs and tables.
Yeah.
And also, this is another game where, like, if you're real low in air, just get them counted out, which is something else I like to do.
But it also has a timer. That's the thing. If I would have played this before I played WrestleFest, I would probably have a different opinion on it. But WrestleFest is such an improvement, such an incredible improvement, that I don't have fun on this game. I've never had a pleasant experience with this game. And I'm not even here to say the game is bad, although the game is incredibly cheap. But I am here to say there are better options out there that make this obsolete.
I'm going to disagree with you on almost everything you said.
All right.
All right. Number one, you, given not playing this when it came out, you got to think.
You're right.
You got to think of the incredible leap from Matt Mania to this.
I would much rather play Matt Mania.
Matt Mania had no choices of characters. Okay, had literally none. And then the second Matt Mania challenge, you had a choice, and the other guy sucked. Secondly. This game had digitized sound. I mean, again, this was not as huge a deal. It had awesome graphics, big, huge sprites, colorful. The guys looked. Think of a wrestling game where you played. Think of any wrestling game from that era where you played a guy that you'd heard of and he looked and played like he should. This was a huge deal.
That's another thing. The move count from Matt Mania to this are incredibly similar.
Yeah.
The moves that you can do. I personally prefer Matt Mania. I think the characters in Matt Mania are way better. You have so many just generic guys in this. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, generic? He was the biggest star of all time.
I'm not looking out in past the real world, Aaron. I'm talking about in-game. Hulk Hogan is a generic guy. Ultimate Warrior is a generic guy.
What does that mean?
I'm
What does that mean?
Let's look at Matt Mania.
Okay.
Okay, you've got the Insane Warrior.
Right.
You've got Coco Beware.
Coco Savage.
You've got the Piranha guy. You've got the, I skipped one. Who'd I skip? Oh, the Karate guy. They all had themes. They all had character. They all had something that made them special, and their moveset was based off of that. If you didn't know the characters from wrestling, the only one in this game that seems to have any kind of interest in them is Big Boss Man. Everyone else just looks like generic fighter guy. So you have to have knowledge of WWF to even begin to enjoy this on the levels that you're enjoying it. If you strip all that away, it looks like five generic fighters that you can choose and one guy that's kind of themed.
You realize that almost all the guys in Matt Mania were just ripped off actual wrestlers, right?
It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm just saying it's exactly the same thing.
No.
Like the Karate guy was a ripoff of Kabuki. You know, Coco Sandwich is a ripoff. Everybody were all ripoffs of guys.
Aaron.
Golden Hulk?
Golden Hulk's a generic guy.
No, he's a cross between Bruiser Brody and Hulk Hogan. I'm just saying it's not my fault you don't know.
No, I do know, Aaron. I'm saying if you don't have knowledge of the things outside of that, they just look like generic guys. They have no flair. They're just...
They look like they're actual guys, though. If you're making a licensed game, that's what you do. This argument's goofy. I'm done with this argument. All I'm saying is if you like wrestling, it's a fun game. It brings some things to the table that you don't get in WrestleFest.
If you are a wrestling fan, yes, you'll probably at least recognize the people in this game because they look proper.
I'll give you a few tips, by the way, if you play this. My favorite team is the Macho Man Randy Savage and Honky Tonk Man. Not just because they're both awesome, but because they're both the best guys to fight Andre. Andre's tough to slam. And so, but Honky, Andre can no-sell most big moves, like suplexes, belly to backs, but what he can't no-sell is Honky's headlock with a punch to the head. Honky's got a little sneaky kick that causes Andre trouble, and he also, Macho Man can use his running clothes on Andre, so they all work if you know what you're doing. So those are two guys to pick. The most interesting guy in the game is actually the Million Dollar Man. He's got the biggest move set. He does an over-the-top belly-to-back suplex. He does a power slam. He does a backbreaker. He does a Million Dollar Dream. He's got lots of cool moves. Pile driver. He's a good guy. And again, there is a hack that lets you play as Andre and Hulk, or Andre and Ted DiBiase to go for the belt. Now, there's a few glitches in it if you do the wrong thing. But for the most part, you can go all the way through with those two guys. So that's kind of fun. It's kind of neat to play Andre.
Yeah.
So with that functionality from a hack, one would assume that at some point that had been something they had maybe planned and pulled out of the game. Overall,
they're so unfair, though.
I think this is a fun game. Don't listen to Brant. Give this a shot. Especially if you're an old wrestling fan, you'll really get a kick out of it.
If you're a wrestling fan, just go play WrestleFest.
No, this has stuff in it that WrestleFest didn't have. And so that's
outside of the little motorized carts that bring you to the ring.
That's right.
How is this superior to WrestleFest?
I didn't say it was superior. I just said there's stuff in here that the play is different than it is at WrestleFest.
Oh, yeah, it's way worse.
No, we're done with you. So that was WWF Superstars. I think it's fun. We didn't get any reviews on this particular game. I had a feeling this week it's going to be hard getting reviews because people don't like to play fighting games. Every time we cover them, our fans just don't seem to be into it. So
that's why we keep doing it.
Listen, what are we going to do? The wheel's spoken. That's all you can do. Now, I went sort of off the beaten path for my team fighting game. You confidently strode into the middle of the downtown beaten path and then beat it some more. So what did you pick?
Marvel versus Capcom 2. Holy moly, what a game. This is considered by most, I shouldn't say that, considered by some, the pinnacle of team-based fighting. This was a follow-up from, obviously, Marvel vs. Capcom, released first in the arcade, not on the CPS chipset, Aaron, but on the Naomi Sega board. This was a huge deal. Huge deal. This was Capcom's first venture onto someone else's hardware. And they did this for one main reason: home conversion. Yeah. This was...
It worked.
It was all part of their plan to release this in the arcades and get it to the home systems ASAP.
Why do you think they wanted to do that?
I'll tell you why. Their gimmick, not seen anywhere else outside of Japan, because I guess it did not do well, was you could take a Dreamcast VMU, the little memory module,
yeah,
take that to the arcade, plug it in,
oh yeah,
play your stuff, take that back home, plug it into your Dreamcast, and get credit for the time you'd spent at the arcade. Credit for what, you may ask? This game starts out both in the arcade and at home with a roster of 26 characters. It balloons into a roster of 56 characters. 56 selectable fighters.
Yeah. A goodly amount.
The way this works is, and this was not being done. You might have characters that are added to a fighting game from a ROM update, that sort of thing. That's not what this was. To unlock characters in the arcade, it was all based on how much money that arcade game had made. So I think it took something like, I want to say 30,000 credits, somewhere in that area, for all the characters to be unlocked in the arcade. At home, as you played, depending on how you played. Now, this is all in Japan. I'm just talking Japanese release here. You could play online, you could play in story mode, or you could play local versus mode. And all of those gave you a type of experience. And then you took that experience and you could unlock characters, you could unlock costumes, you could unlock stages. It was a big deal. And these, I mean, some things were cheaper to purchase than others, but it all took some playing. And this, I'm not talking real money. This was all in-game unlocks. Except, of course, if you took your VMU to the arcade, plugged it in, you could get experience points to spend at home. Super, super fun. It made, it gave this game a single player longevity unlike any fighter before it. Because most of the times when you get a game home, it's not about the single player. It's all about playing with your buddies. I own this for a Dreamcast. Aaron, did you own this for the Dreamcast?
I couldn't afford this for the Dreamcast. It cost too much money.
It was expensive.
Do you still own it?
I do not. It was part of my stuff that got stolen.
Oh, bummer. That was worth a fortune.
Yeah, I know. The port from the Naomi arcade system to the Sega Dreamcast has been called Arcade Perfect.
Yeah.
But it's not. The Dreamcast is actually the superior version to play this one because it has less slowdown during special moves. And let's get into the gameplay of this. You pick three characters out of the, depending on how many you have unlocked, up to 56 characters. And we're talking a slew of Street Fighter characters, a slew, of course, of Marvel characters, but there's also things throughout Marvel's past, different characters that they pull from that. For example, Jill Valentine from the Resident Evil series. You've got...
She's not from Marvel's past.
No, she's from Capcom's past, dummy.
Well, you said Marvel.
You have also three characters that are original just for this game. And... fun little Easter egg fact, uh-huh, they are also the only three characters that have a stage dedicated to them.
What are they?
The pirate ship, the desert, and...
So that pirate chick's original to this game?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, they have since then woven things in, and the other one is the monkey
what
god
this
with
cactus,
the stick.
This cactus freak.
That's an original to this game.
Okay.
His stage is the
desert. The three guys they made were not what I would call my favorite guys.
Well,
I'm just saying.
I think out of 56 characters, you can find somebody you like.
Some people like goofiness. Like
this A few things that this did that was completely different from the Marvel vs. Capcom before. They went from 6 buttons to 4 buttons. This was very, very controversial at the time.
Yeah, we hated
this. This was very controversial at the time. There were still 6 buttons on the control panel, so you didn't quite understand what was going on when you first walked up to the machine. But what you had was a top row, light punch, heavy punch, tag partner, where you could, one of your tag partners would run in, throw an attack, and then jump out. And the bottom row was light kick, heavy kick, other tag partner, because you pick 3 people. This game is very controversial for that, but if you know about the game, double light punch produces a medium attack. And there is a sequence in this that is much like the Killer Instinct combo sequence, where if you go light, medium, or light, fierce, that is a standard combo that pretty much works for everyone. Because what you're doing is actually light attack, medium attack, fierce attack. What can we say about the roster of this game, Aaron? It's extensive. There's no way you can play every combination of team on here. You're talking trillions and trillions and trillions of combinations.
Yeah.
Because even on top of picking each character, you can pick what the tag move is for that character. For example, you get an alpha, beta, gamma that you choose from when you pick the character. And it maybe they come in and do a fireball. Maybe they come in and do a spinning kick. Maybe they come in and do a health item. It's all based on whatever the character you chooses comes up with. The end boss for this game, I just mentioned it because he's on stage, is Abyss. He is unlike some of the past games where you had a big background stage boss,
yeah.
He is a normal fight. However, instead of being on a team of 3, you fight him in 3 individual fights. So he has a phase 1, a phase 2, or phase 3.
Yeah. He gets pretty cheap there towards the end of his various.
Well, he's an end boss, so yeah. And you can't play him, so it's okay. It's okay.
Did you like him better than Onslaught?
My favorite of these bosses is from X-Men vs. Street Fighter, the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
But this guy's not bad. I think his phases are different enough to make him enjoyable to fight.
They really
but
go crazy.
He's hard.
With his, yeah.
He is hard. The super moves in this game, of course, you have a super bar. It is like some of the previous games, but it has an additional feature where you can start a super, like your guys on the screen, you start a super up, maybe you're shooting a fireball. You can interrupt that super and begin a super from someone who's off stage. So they will pop in and start doing their super. And you can do this for as many times as you have bars. You can also do a super team attack where everyone jumps in and does one attack at one time. And there are teams that actually gel together better than other teams. So picking your team, there is a strategy. If you are just wanting to do supers, there are strategies based around that. One more thing about this game. It has a incredibly huge professional scene. Even today, 23-odd years later, this is one of those games that people set out to solve. And some things have been solved about this game, which is both a plus and a minus. Once someone solves something, you can kind of say that's not fair for play, and it makes it a little more across the board. This game is not balanced.
It's not.
But it's amazing that the fighting scene for this is so intense. This is what a lot of the games that are played on this are cash games. I'm not big into the fighting scene, but this is a huge, I'll put up $10,000, you put up $10,000, whoever wins the best of 15 takes home the money.
How do these geeks get that much money? I can't figure it out.
There are huge Evo. This is a game that's almost always at Evo. It has a big following. huge, huge following. But and it, when you get to that professional level scene, it's just all out madness.
Well, also they almost always play the same guys. Every time I watch those, they're playing the same couple
well,
guys.
Well, yeah, it's because the same couple guys are the best of the best.
Yeah, but that's lame. I want to see like all the. I mean, am I wrong?
Yes, you're
I
wrong.
I want to see other guys
because
get in there.
You
every once in a while, an oddball comes in.
You
and gets
obviously
murdered.
Don't understand the intricacies, and I don't either. I understand some of them.
I understand it real well.
Uh huh. The level of skill from someone at that peak versus just playing it casually, it's huge. But this game is very casual friendly. The four buttons, that's the whole reason why they dropped down to four buttons.
I thought they did that for the home release.
That's no, what are you talking about? Almost every console at the time had plenty of buttons on
no,
the
No, but they had the Dreamcast has four face buttons.
Yeah, but it has L and R's.
Right, but I'm just saying, I'd always heard if that was the reason.
The incorrect.
It
was solely based on bringing in new players. This is the first, some people call it 2.5D. I think that's stupid. This is the first fighting game by Capcom that has CGI backgrounds, but sprite-based combatants.
Yeah, it was pretty weird at the time.
It's jarring.
Yeah.
It's jarring.
And all the games henceforth have been very similarly jarring.
Well, they get a little bit better each time. None of the characters in modern fighting games are sprite-based. They're all 3D. The music in this, garbage.
It is. It's very Japanese. Think what a Japanese guy thinks Americans are into.
Although
it's sort of famous for. Want to thank you for the opening and stuff. It's sort of famous.
Yeah.
You can't get rid of it now.
Yeah.
I've seen versions of this like a download of the Dreamcast where someone went through and changed every track to make it cooler. I've downloaded those before, and I don't blame them. But I mean, it's okay if you're like. It's more like it reminds me of something like you hear on the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack or something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean that music is actually fine. I'm talking about the stage music.
Yeah.
It's not well received. Here's the most amazing fact about all this.
Yeah.
This game was rushed through production.
Really?
Rushed. They were pulling sprites from every property they had, and the plan was just to take all these sprites, mush them together, put them on this Dreamcast board and get it out the door.
Yeah.
And that is what happened. But along the way, they innovated some things that are now staples of these versus fighting games, most of which I mentioned, where you could chain together supers and that kind of crap. The different fighting styles, although that had been done before. The success at this game was not expected. The call for this game to be re-released in modern systems is still ongoing because when they released for Dreamcast, and of course they had the arcade, they did eventually put it out on PlayStation and Xbox, right? But in the U.S., they did not have online support. In Japan, they did because Capcom ran everything through their own little fighting system or online system. Then, when the new systems came out, people still wanted this game. This is like I'm talking 2010. But they couldn't do it because they lost the licenses. Copyright rears its ugly head again.
Yeah.
They eventually got that worked out, and the arcade cabinets, the little ones you can buy.
The arcade one-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get this in one of those one-up cabinets.
Well, you can, but it has not been well received at all.
Well,
because the online part of it, to my knowledge, it's on the box. They say it has it, but at this point, they've never actually got it to work. And in fact, the other parts of the game it's because it ships in a cabinet with multiple games.
Yes,
they've got all kinds of problems. So that, yeah, your mileage. I would not buy the one up right now if I were you.
But there is versions of this game that can get online and have rollback code, which is brutally important for modern fighting games. Is it perfect? No, but it's better than it's ever been.
I don't know what that is.
It makes fighting games a lot better.
What is it?
It's basically when you put in an input, the other end predicts what your input's going to be, and it goes. It thinks of that beforehand. What would happen if you did this? And it has branching paths, and if you hit that move, then it follows through. If you don't, then it obviously doesn't take that. It keeps the lag to a minimum. I did a horrible job explaining that. It's way more complex than that, but it keeps the lag to a minimum is the important part.
I don't think I'd want to competitively, with my hiney on the line, play this any of these games online.
Well,
I don't care what they've got. I know better. Because there are some games that don't play well online. Fighting games
have gotten like tremendously
better. Pinball is another one that doesn't play well. There's a lot of them like that.
Pinball?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you're insane.
Oh, yeah.
When this came out, the reviews for this, for the Dreamcast and the systems it initially released on, were staggeringly good. High marks across the board. When they were re-released later down the line, they were incredibly bad, or mediocre, I should say, which kind of shows how times have changed, because they were released 10 years apart. But like I said, there's more clamoring for this game now, or a couple years ago, than there's ever been, because this is a game that has stood the test of time. While it is not my personal favorite, because for me, it's too over the top. No, this is too over the top.
Which one is your personal favorite?
X-Men versus Street Fighter. Oh, okay. We went over this several times.
Yeah.
But I do respect what this game did. I respect how they did it more than anything else. Aaron, what is your opinion on Marvel versus Capcom 2?
Well, just to go way back, the memory card idea would never work in the States. When we bought a machine that had a Naomi board that had WWF Royal Rumble in it.
Yes.
It was in an NFL Blitz cabinet, all right? It had a card slot in it. I remember we took that off. And I remember thinking, we both thought this would never make it. They would, because number one, people would just gum these things up and put crap in it. It would destroy this thing. So in America, I saw machines that had these, and I thought that's never going to work. Neo Geo machines had them too. So that was a doomed concept.
Well, that's why it never came to
the
States.
Like you. I think this is the exact game where they went too far with the specials. Too far. Now, that much said, I like this game. But, I mean, they went too far with the specials. And this is the tipping point I was talking about. And that's what I was talking about. The Marvel roster, this is great. It's great. There's only a couple duds in there. The Capcom roster, not so good, Al.
That's about 50%.
There's a lot of guys that aren't as good. So the Marvel roster is way better than the Capcom roster. They left out staples. I'm not going to get into it. They left out a lot of guys that I like to put in stupid crap like Servbot and the Cactus Guy and some other crap.
Well, the Cactus Guy was an original character. But what they did was everybody wanted them to do it, even that you mentioned.
No one was clamoring for Dan to be in this game. I can tell you that right now.
Dan is a staple.
Dan is not. He's a stinker. I never liked Dan.
He's a staple.
So, but anyway, there's plenty of duds. Or Captain Commandos, another guy. Can I finish? It's my turn to talk. You hush. So there's that. So I would call this game, I'd say the roster is pretty good. You get a lot of guys, but I mean, there's a lot of duds. Now, if you're into weird duds, you might enjoy this. Some people enjoy playing the dud characters. I don't. The music, you didn't mention the announcer in this. The whole audio patch in this is bonkers. And even the visuals in between matches are bonkers. It's a goofy game. Like, you gotta love the Japanese. I mean, they're out of their minds. It's on some of this stuff. So if you like, and now it's all iconic. Like I said, you can never take it out now. Yeah. It's too late. It's so stupid. And so you just laugh at it. And you're right, the in-stage music. I mean, if you think about how great the music was in Street Fighter 2, you know, and with less to work with.
Huge sound, baby.
I mean, all that stuff was like iconic. No one's humming this crap going down the street. You know, I can tell you that right now. But I, when this game came out, it was awesome. I'm like you. I was a big fan of X-Men vs. Street Fighter. I like six buttons. I didn't like going down to four. I still don't like it, if I'm honest. But I heard opposite of what you said. I heard that they did it for easier home conversion to Dreamcast. That's just what I heard. Your mileage may vary. It's a good game. I still play it. I put it on every machine I've got that'll run it. You know, it's one of those games that used to test your emulator's ability to play a game on the Dreamcast.
Sprite-based games,
And so it works well. And I can't imagine people having not played this by now, but it's definitely a big winner. The Marvel guys in this are great, and the art in this is great. But you can tell there's a hodgepodge of different pulls from different games, because a lot of the characters look like, some of the characters look like they came from the Alpha series, so I'm sure they did, the look of them at least.
Yeah.
And then Captain America, these guys, look, they're straight out of Marvel superheroes.
It's a clash of art styles a bit.
But, I mean, it works. I mean, they sized them up about right. Some of the characters, are huge. It's a shame that they didn't get, I'd love to have one of these games where they just get every single guy from every game. That'd be awesome.
Oh, that's Mugen.
Yeah, well, I would say it'd be cool to have, like, I don't know, the Sentinel in here. Not the Sentinel, but the...
he's in there.
What's the guy's name? I can't remember. Anyway, there's a couple guys I'd like to see in here that weren't. There's tons of Street Fighter guys I'd like to see. Capcom guys, but that's irrelevant. It's got Gambit, enough said. I love him. You know, I was happy to see his inclusion. So I give this a thumbs up, but you know what you're getting when you get it. If you own it now, you're in the money, because these things go for a pretty penny.
Yeah, they go for about $200 online. With case and everything.
Yeah.
And the reason why is, like I said, it's still a game that's popular today.
You know, the funny thing is Marvel vs. Capcom 1, I wasn't a big fan of that one. This one was way, way better than Marvel vs. Capcom 1.
Well, but you needed Marvel vs. Capcom to get to this place, and you needed X-Men versus Street Fighter to start the whole
but
thing.
But which
off.
One did you like? I mean,
tons better.
No, I mean, which one did you? I mean, you liked X-Men versus Street Fighter way more than Marvel versus Capcom 1, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I liked X-Men versus Street Fighter better than everything.
There you go. Enough said. I'm gonna say, I didn't look this. Did you see what this is going for on eBay?
About $200.
No.
The
I'm talking about the Naomi board.
Oh, no, the arcade board? No.
Yeah, and those Naomi boards, by the way, just for an FYI.
I'm talking Dreamcast,
we sold the Naomi board with the accompanying game, which sucked, was WWF Royal Rumble.
Oh, God.
For more than we paid for the entire cabinet.
Yeah.
So, in fact, as I look to my left, that cabinet, at least part of it, sitting right beside me. So we kept it around. Well, Britt, so what, as we close up shop on Team Fighting Games, any parting thoughts on this?
Well, I think an important thing that needs to be asked, Aaron, do you prefer team fighting games or one versus one?
That's a good question.
That's why
it's funny,
I asked
I never
it.
Even thought about it until this exact second.
Wow, okay.
I like team fighting games because it gives you a longer, it gives you opportunity to make a comeback. You know, it also lets you get better at more characters, which is nice. But I'll have to say, I think I like one-on-one better, just because that's the way I came in. It's also a shorter game, and sometimes these games can go on forever, these 3-on-3s, you know. So I'll probably say I like the one versus one. Plus, some of my favorite games don't really have team elements, like Mortal Kombat 2 and Virtual Fighter 2, stuff like that. The original Tekken's a couple of those. But they're still fun to play occasionally. They're good at parties, too.
From personal experience, I've always thought that if you want a deep experience, a deep fighting experience where you have to actually learn characters and learn moves or learn combos and all that kind of stuff, it's a one-on-one affair where team fighting is more, especially the three-team type things, it's more superhero action, explosions, and all this kind of stuff. More of a party atmosphere game. I think that's why I like X-Men versus Street Fighter so much. It is a single-player game that you happen to have two fighters.
Before we move on, there's one thing I want to mention.
Yeah.
You didn't talk anything about Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Because it's horrible.
And I was going to ask you, has that system...
It went to three buttons.
Has that system fallen on its head? I mean, is that series done?
Well, they don't have the license anymore.
Right. I mean, I hated what they did. Yeah. I hated it.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And so we could definitely...
No one liked
it. We could definitely both agree that our games we picked this week, sequels, mine was way, way better than yours. There you go.
I guess so.
There you go.
Now, Aaron, if you had a computer problem and you were looking to team up with someone, who would you go with?
There's only one team I trust for all my computer needs, and I think we all know who it is. It's our friends, the team at RetroRewind.ca.
Absolutely.
There are fellas up there like the runner, the owner, Frank, his buddy Jason Warrens. These two team up along with many more to bring top shelf quality repairs, services, and also items for sale to enhance your enjoyment of your home computer. Do you have a Commodore machine at the house? Do you have a TRS-80 color computer at the house? If you do, you're in luck, because these friendly Canadians located up in the Great White North are more than happy to take your machines in and repair them, recap them, and give them all the love and attention that you can't give out.
To be fair, you're a busy man. If you have a damaged machine, you're not lucky, but Frank can help you out. If you have a working machine, Frank can still help you out with all the little bonus features that he will sell directly to you.
SD card solutions, got them. Compact flash interface solutions, got him. He's got everything you need, either to fix your own machine, diagnose the problems with it, or let him fix it for you. That's Frank and all the good folks on the team at RetroRewind.ca.
Absolutely.
What do we got this week, Brent?
Aaron, for the Retro Rewind piece, we've got the Apricot F1.
Oh, man. I remember that one.
And the new piece is Pixel Gaten Mistakes. This is our good friends over at the Pixel Gaten podcast, where they have chosen a bad, they have said something is bad when it's actually good, and we're going to have to prove them.
Oh, man. We're cross-promoting? How'd you set that one up?
That's more of a cross fixing their mistakes.
Yeah, I hope they don't return the favor. Because you screw up all the time, I just have to sit here crying. Here we go, folks. The winner is
Commodore PET.
All right.
Suggested by Buck Owens.
Well, Buck, you're getting a double dose of PET. Hey, you've got to have two PETs, all right? That's the way it goes. Next week, the Commodore PET will be the show of choice, the PET. So, as we wind this down, listen, would you get off me? A couple of items of note here before we go. Myself and John Bodevkar Schaller will be heading out to, believe it or not, Brandy, I never thought I'd say this, we'll be heading near Chicago. April 22nd and 23rd for the last Cocoa Fest. They always call it that. It's the 31st annual Cocoa Fest. In celebration of the color computer, we'll be setting up a table with some crap. Apparently, we're going to be doing some sort of show on the stage. You know, so that might be interesting. Should be a lot of fun. If you haven't got your tickets for Cocoa Fest, they're free. So what's your excuse? Get out there. It's Cocoa Fest. That'll be April 22nd and 23rd. I know L. Curtis Boyle's going to be there along with Paco and all your Cocoa pals. If you ever want to touch them or take pictures with them, now's your chance, all these legendary guys. Lastly, just a brief mention, Boat Fest. It's still coming up. June 23rd through 25th, it will be happening here in downtown Hurricane, West Virginia. Myself, John Bodevkar Schaller, the Brent, Jack Flack, all your favorites, a cast of thousands. Canadians will be there. Europeans will be there. Australians will be there. It's going to be happening. We're going to have a lot of fun taking place over the pub, downtown Hurricane. So if you haven't got your tickets for this, I would get them quick.
Yeah, they are actually going pretty quick.
With all that said, do you have any final thoughts here before we move out the door?
I do. I want to read down the Patreons real quick. We got Rolo, Mr. B, Terry Howard, Frodo NL, Laurent Garut.
It's Laurent Giroux.
Garut.
Oh, God.
Kevin Bean, Mitsuyama, Oram, Olaf Hope, Dave Terrence, Rauschi, Graham W. Vetke, Andy Jones, Jason Warrens, Jerry D., Dave Velociraptor, Sundown, Templar Marr, Chris Munch, Petzl, Rob Flack O'Hara, Texas Foosballer, Chris Fold, Richard Smith, Pachaco 6502, Andy Craig, Z9K9, John Dykeman, Bernard Lucas, Steve Rathmussen, Retroalgae, Anthony Jarvis, and our newest Patreon, Aaron, who has taken up the spirit of the wheel, and we need to talk about this for just a moment.
It's an angle.
John Bodevkar Schaller has decided he is going to possess the wheel, and he is going to...
That would explain a lot.
He is going to purchase from us an extra show. And we will be presenting that in all its glory. Maybe not next week, but the week after that. So you can thank John for being the spirit of the wheel.
Has he said what we're doing yet?
He has, and I'm not going to tell you until tomorrow.
Why do I not get to know?
Actually, I'll
tell you. Be doing the show.
I'll tell you when we get off the air. There is a new supporter video coming. Unfortunately, my daughter was in the hospital for a little bit this week.
How's she feeling?
She is doing much, much better.
Good.
She's much better. She's back to work. She's doing all the normal, not in a hospital thing. So, yay for that. We also had to take my little kitten to the vet. He got a barbed fishing lure stuck in his pole. Which is amazing because no one at the house fishes, so we don't know where he found it.
In fact, you've sold him travel outside if you can help it.
Huh?
There's no way you'd go to a lake.
There's
a 0% chance.
So,
sorry, kitty.
Full weekend, or full week for me, prevented me from getting up some stuff done I wanted to get done. However, we are going to be coming back next week, Aaron, for a little pet action.
Commodore Pet. Should be a lot of fun, everybody. Have a good week, and we will catch you guys on the flip side. And until then, team up and fight a sucker.